Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme here on Highlands. Tonight on the show, we'll be joined by former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan to look ahead to the matches involving Finn Harps and Derry City this week. The new season for the Donegal Women's League is up and running. Breed McGinty will be telling us about the growth of women's football in the county. While the Donegal Hurlers start their championship this weekend, they are taking on Armagh in their opening game in the Nicky Rackard Cup, and we'll also be getting a preview of that tie and the hopes of the Donegal Hurlers with manager Mickey McCann coming up later on. But up first, we're going to talk schools football. Yesterday, Scullwhara Buncrana were crowned FAI Schools Dr. Tony O'Neill Senior National Cup champions. And the All-Ireland decider for the under-19 large schools, the Inishowen side, were 2-0 winners over Belvedere College in the final, which was played at the Showgrounds in Sligo. Shawnee Bradley scored the first on 65 minutes, and then just 8 minutes later from the penalty spot, Captain Conor Graham slotted home the second to give Buncrana the cup and the All-Ireland title. A fantastic achievement by the Inishowen school, and I'm delighted to say that Paddy Carr, the manager, joins us in studio tonight. Paddy, welcome along to Highland. Good to see you.
Thanks very much, Oisin. Thank you.
Well, Paddy, what was it like around the school today? Obviously, I would say there's a fantastic atmosphere having won in All-Ireland the previous day.
I don't know what. It was a great day in the school today for everyone. There was great buzz about it. The amount of people congratulating us and from the whole community and the staff and even the students there when you meet them on the corridors congratulating us and seeing the cup around the school there today as well, so it was a great day.
Yeah, and listen, something that the school has been trying to strive to get for a while. This is the first ever national senior soccer title at the school has won.
Yeah,
first ever title through all the age groups, actually, isn't it?
Through all the age groups and boys. We've been successful in some of the girls, All Ireland. So it's the first senior and first boys All Ireland ever in the school, and again, we've been in a lot of finals, and it's great to get one over the line at long last.
Yeah. Well, what about the journey to the final? Tell us about that.
Probably the first few rounds, we had kind of comfortable enough victories. And then in the Ulster semi-final, we played St. Union's College, who are one of the kingpins of soccer in Irish, not even in Ulster, but in Ireland. And we played them down in Isle. It was a wet day. And again, the boys got two quick goals before half time. Unions are a fantastic team, and we played them and played very well. Nothing between them. Then, we got two quick goals, and then the second half were comfortable enough. So you felt when you beat the likes of Unions, you mightn't be too far away. Any year you're beating the likes of Unions or Cairn Dunham, that you're not going to be too far away. So then in the final, then we played a very good Pobl Scoil Gaedore. And again, in fairness, Pobl Scoil Gaedore have had a great success in Bees, and all credit to their coach, Kieran Geordie McFadden, for bringing them onto the A's to kind of test the players and for their development. And for them to get to the Ulster final was an immense achievement. And again, on the day, it went to penalties, so they were not far away. And I know a lot of those Gaedore boys are back again next year, so they'll be biting at the bit to get at us next year.
And the semi-final then, Mayo opposition?
Mayo, St. Clair's, or St. George Castlebar we played, and again, I thought we were very comfortable that day. We went 2-0 up, then they got a penalty and went to 2-1, but again, the boys reacted very well, went 3-1 up, then it went another penalty, 3-2. And again, the boys reacted and got a fourth goal to make it 4-2, and I thought it was a very comfortable victory.
Yeah.
I felt all during the process that our back four have been superb all season, and the keeper. And again, it was only set pieces that we were conceding. Out of those three games, we didn't concede a goal. It was two penalties, but from play, we hadn't conceded.
He didn't concede in the final either yesterday, Paddy. So, listen, that form continued through. But going by all accounts, you guys were confident throughout the decider yesterday. And really, once that first goal went in from Shawnee Bradley, it seemed to be only going to be one winner on it.
Yeah, definitely. First half, there's a few chances. In fairness, the Belvedere team, we knew a bit about them. The three boys that play kind of up front, up top for them, there's three good players playing under 20s with some of the Dublin teams. We knew they were going to be the threat. And again, as I said, our back four been phenomenal all season. And they knew before they went out that day that they need to be on guard for these boys. And after about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, with the challenges that went in on that, I thought, yeah, no, we'll be okay today. And then when Shawnee got the goal, I think it was around the 15th minute or something, the second half.
Yeah.
Again, a good cross. I think it was Daniel crossed it in, and Shawnee got it under the back post, headed it in. Again, then 10 minutes later, Darragh Coyle is brought down in the box, and Conor Graham, our captain, he's a great leader on the pitch, he tucked away the penalty, and once it went 2-0, I think the boys just took her home then. It was no problem. It was very comfortable. The last 20 minutes was nearly relaxed, enjoyed it because of and the boys have been immense all season.
Yeah. In big cup finals, you don't get a chance really to enjoy them
much,
but you had that luxury yesterday, so you had?
It's funny. It was just one of those days that just things seemed to work, and all credit to the boys. Delighted for them. They deserved this, and it's been a phenomenal. There's been so many great athletes and soccer players that have gone through the school that haven't reached this peak. So for them boys to reach it there yesterday, I'm delighted for them.
Yeah. What's the spread of clubs like there? Obviously, there's a Harps and Derry City influence among a number of your young players, but there's a big catchment area down there.
Yeah,
in Inishowen.
There's a huge catchment area. They're from maybe four or five different clubs from the community as well. Buncrana Hearts, Cock Hill, Allies, Quigley Point, Swifts and Alia. They're coming from all those clubs. And again, as you said, Harps and Derry. But from a young age, credit has to go to the clubs and their coaches. And this kind of victory here yesterday is for all those people that did all that hard work from when they were under 8s, 10s, the whole way up. So this is kind of, it's a trophy for the school, but it's a trophy for the community as well. And again, even the spread from the primary schools, there's seven. The squad comes from seven different primary schools. Allies, Cockhull, Skolisigan, Drumfries, I think Toobin, Regent, Muffs, was a huge spread. And again, it's just for the whole community, it's been a great result. We're just delighted for them.
Yeah, fantastic result. And listen, you've had big results with the girls previously as well, and they got the women's equivalent this year, so they did, but it didn't work out for them on that occasion. And that's just sport day, so does, Paddy.
Aye, that's the joys of sports. It's just one of those days. And again, unfortunately, these are days that you always keep remembering. They're the ones that got away. Again, we had a phenomenal success with the group of girls that we had. And again, they've been a credit to the school. And they did win the All-Ireland last year. And they were just so unfortunate on the day to get beat against a very good Thurles team. And in fairness to Thurles, they were knocking on the door last year as well. So in fairness to Thurles, you know, it was obviously nice for them, but for our girls, it's just disappointing. But
yeah, it's been a phenomenal year in the school when you look at it. The boys' soccer, National Cup winners,
yeah,
All-Ireland champions.
Right.
You had the girls getting to another final, having won it last year. You had the Gaelic footballers.
That's right.
Involved in an All-Ireland as well. There's a very healthy sporting environment around Scullwara and Buncrana, Paddy, finally.
It's great. In fairness, the sports is very good. And again, we're lucky in the school that there's so many teachers getting involved with all the extracurricular activities. And again, the Gaelic, it was, the boys were unfortunate in the Gaelic finals, very unfortunate to lose with a few last minute point, but that hurt from that final also kind of helped us maybe yesterday. And that around nine out of 11 that started yesterday were on that Gaelic team.
Right.
So they knew the hurt of the defeat, and that carried them through yesterday. And again, the sport is a great extracurricular activity, and the boys and girls are all doing very well in it. Yeah. And we're lucky, very lucky.
They're buying into it big time, sure.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Certainly.
It's brilliant.
Well, listen, Paddy, congratulations to you as manager, to your management team, to your players, and to everybody down at Scullwara, because it's sensational. It's been brilliant. It's been a fantastic year, so it has.
It's been a good year, yeah.
And well done on that. And thanks for coming into the studio.
No bother. Thank you, Oisin.
Yeah, brilliant stuff indeed. And I'm sure the celebrations will be continuing tomorrow down at Scullwara and Buncrana after their All-Ireland success this weekend. Right, we're going to stay with football, and Harps and Derry City, of course, both in action this weekend in the Premier, in the First Division and the Premier Division of the League of Ireland, and both are on the road as well. Derry City are off to Drogheda United tomorrow night, and Fin Harps are off to play Athlone Town. In this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been speaking with former Fin Harps skipper and current Derrickview player, Keith Cowan. Listen, before we talk Fin Harps, Derry City and all sorts of League of Ireland stuff, how's life at Derrickview? Is the pressure coming on now in the closing weeks? You need some big results, do you?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few weeks. As you might have heard, we had a change of manager again there. Emma Fryer's departed and Ivan Sproul's back in, who was in interim manager after Tommy Canning left in the middle of the season. So he's back in for the last couple of games. Look, it's going to go right down to the wire. We're sitting in the playoff spot, trying to get out of it. A few big games coming up, home games that we're hoping to get points in. So it's going to be a tough run in, but look, we're all looking forward to it. The team's in good spirits, even for the position that we're in. So, you know, that should help us, and hopefully a big couple of results coming for us in the next few weeks.
Okay, well, we wish you luck over the next few weeks with those games as you fight to stay, of course, in the Irish League Championship. But in the First Division of the League of Ireland, there's a number of big games coming up for Fin Harps. You watched them, you were over at Fin Park that day that they drew with UCD. What did you make of the performance on that evening, Keith, and I suppose how they're going so far, because 9 games played and they're sitting second in the table?
Yeah, look, I was over last week. The early kickoff allowed me to get over, and you know, it was a good result, I suppose, not from a winning position when you think about it like that, but I think people need to, you know, kind of relax. There was a real frustration I felt around the ground, I suppose, because they have started so well and they're sitting second on the table, and, you know, they were 1-0 up in that game, and then UCD got it back to 1-1. But look, compared to where Harps have been last season to where they are now, it's night and day. You know, you can see what, you know, a settled dressing room can do, and, you know, what a manager brings calm to a situation and to a group of players, and, you know, the environment that he's created is obviously getting the best out of this group of players, and you know, you can see that with results. Speaking to a few of the guys around the dressing room as well, you know, they're in agreement, not playing overly well, but getting results. You know, so that's a really positive thing to have with the team. And, you know, 9 games gone, sitting second, like you say, you know, 1 defeat, a few draws, and the rest wins. You know, Murph does really seem to be getting the best out of this group of players. And, you know, going into Athlone this week, which is a tough place to go. You know, a lot of goals conceded there last season. I think we spoke about it there just before we came on. Maybe 15 goals conceded, or 15 goals in the games, maybe it was last season. But yeah.
Like, it was actually 19. Between the two teams, there was 19 goals scored in the 4 matches. Harps actually only won 1 of them, 4-1, with Athlone winning the rest of the games. Is there going to be as many goals this time around, do you think, Keith?
I can't see it. The way that the team's set up, the way that Murph has them set up, it's not going to be Dave Ball. It's not going to be like it was last year, you know, sitting on the halfway line, leaving space in behind for runners and not being able to hold the ball when it goes up front. It's not going to be like that. You've seen the way they play. You know, they do get the ball back to front quickly enough. I suppose maybe on the surface that's going to be up in Athlone, it will allow them to play. Look, you've got Tony McNamee in the middle there, David Colley, loads of experience, good footballers. You know, they'll be able to dictate the game. You know, they're sound at the back. Noah in the middle, with Matty Mackinson right at him and Connor Torres to the left. So they're sound, good structure there, and a big success up front as well. So he's able to hold it up when the ball goes up there. I don't think there'll be as many goals in the game. Harps getting a 2-0 win at Fin Park in their reverse fixture earlier in the year. I'd expect something similar. Harps to, you know, continue on the good run of form. I think Athlone without Dylan Hand, who picked up a red last week, so that's one of their defenders gone, but I'm sure they'll have someone to step into that void. I expect Harps to continue the way they're going. You know, they've been going you know, probably better away from home than they have been at home. Maybe down to the pitch, you know, like I said, it was up last week and it's narrow, it's bobbly, it's hard to play on. But, you know, you look at where Harps are sitting in the league and it's not doing them any harm at all.
Yep. I think it's fair to say that Harps would be seen as the surprise package of the first division this season.
I think so. I think the way things have gone, and maybe, you know, maybe after the way things had gone last year, maybe none of them more surprised than themselves. But as I said, you know, when you get that, when you get the changing room right, when you get, you know, the management right, and, you know, can bring that, you know, calm and effect, and, you know, can bring in that calm and influence, and, you know, just set the team up properly. I think we spoke about earlier in the season about, you know, what, how were Harps going to set up this year? And, you know, it doesn't really change in terms of the first division. You know, people that know the league and people that have been around football, you know, you don't have to play this expansive style of football, you know, to try with maybe inexperienced players to try and, you know, gain maximum points. And so, like, there's no point reinventing the wheel. Murph knows the system. You know, he's got Kevin in there who knows the league inside out. So, you know, they seem to have the right formula at the moment, and just long may that continue.
Yeah, and they've had good results against the teams that are actually sitting around them now in the league. Obviously, they drew with Cork in the opening match, and they drew with UCD. So they're holding their own against the top sides. Now they're taking on an Athlone team that probably aren't as strong as what they were last year. But if we look ahead to the fixtures, there's big games on the horizon later this month. The likes of Cove down at St. Colm's Park in Cove on Friday week. And then they were scheduled to be at Turner's Cross against Cork City on the 26th. But it looks as if that game is now going to be possibly, now we're waiting confirmation of this, it may happen over the next 48 hours, that game could be reversed to Ballybuffet. But I know you'd sort of said it to me beforehand as well, Keith, that Harps pitch has come in for a lot of criticism, and you seen it yourself last week against UCD, maybe at times how bobbly it is. But Cork City have had their venue pulled because of the condition of the pitch, and there's immediate emergency work needed now. But the two sides that possibly maybe have not the best pitches in the league are actually sitting in the first two places in the table.
Yeah, it's funny how that actually works out. I think every manager now in the first division will be driving a tractor up the middle of their pitch to try and knock it off. So look, it doesn't really matter, you know, the surface that they're playing on. Like, Harps were able to win away from home as well, which is good to see. You mentioned there some difficult trips ahead for Harps. Cove, you know, traveling to Cove, all that entails, you know, the journey and all that there.
And Keith, is that the worst trek of the year, going to Cove, because you've been there a few times?
I think it is, yeah. It's more mental than actually physically draining, you know, because obviously you're sitting on a bus, you know, you're not really, you're not really exerting yourself too much. But just, you know, being up at a certain time. Now, they might travel the night before, which they have done in previous years. But then other years, you know, we've gone down there the day of and won, and then we've gone down there the day of and, you know, found it quite difficult as well. That's surely the one that they will look at to probably get an overnight from. But then you see Cove coming up to Ballyfey and winning the season already, you know. So that's, you know, Harps only defeated the season was Cove. So they'll be wary of that. But look, I think, you know, once it comes game time, you try and throw all excuses out the window. You know, it's 11-11 to start off with. And, you know, I think that's usually one of the first things that's mentioned in a changing room. Look, we've done the travel. That's the last I want to hear about it. We focus on the game now and try and pick up maximum points.
Okay. And just finally on the Harps, you expect Harps maybe to get maximum points, do you, on Friday against Athlone?
The way they've been travelling, the way they've been playing, you know, they're not giving up many goals. Confidence is high in the group. I expect it to be a tough game because Athlone are good at home. I don't think they've lost at home yet this season, so, you know, that'll bode well for them. It is going to be a tough game. I think, you know, the way things are going, Harps would take a draw there. Just on the back of, you know, maybe last year and, you know, a couple of the results that were down there. But, you know, the way they've been playing, I wouldn't surprise me if they picked up another 3 points on the road.
Kick-off time to that game down in Athlone on Friday is at 7:45 for the Harps. We will have updates on Highland here. Kevin Egan will be reporting as from the kick-off time. The other games on Friday, Cove Ramblers take on Wexford. Treaty United are up against Kerry FC. UCD are meeting Cork City, and Longford are meeting Bray on Saturday. So then, into the first division, Shell, or the Premier Division rather. Listen, Keith, Shelburne are leading the way, and deservedly so. The only side unbeaten in the Premier Division in the top flight. Six clear of Derry City. I've seen this week as well, Damien Duff once again praising his captain, Donegal man and Mark Coyle. They've really been the standard bearers so far in this campaign in the top flight.
They have, and I suppose you just touch on what you said there about Damien Duff, you know, recognising the importance of Mark Coyle, and I think he actually said that he would, you know, fall to the edge of the earth. So that's a, you know, there's no higher praise you can get from your manager, but, you know, a manager that's, you know, so highly thought of and, you know, with such experience and that. I know I spoke to Mark a few times about Duff and, you know, and what he brings. And, like, you know, he basically has them, you know, thinking that it's them against the world, you know, and he's just created that siege mentality. And, you know, he loves playing for him. He loves the group. He loves the environment that he's created there. And, you know, it was a, you know, he said it was a bit of a no-brainer once he got the contact from Damien Duff to go there. And, you know, you can see how Mark's career has flourished. He's, you know, scoring goals. He's, you know, making teams of the week on regular occasions. You know, and that's down to the man himself too, how much Mark puts into it. You know, his work rate, his character, you know, he's been, you know, one of the top players in the league so far in this season, and, you know, one of the best midfielders in the country. You have to look at it like that. The way they've started, you know, they've set the pace. You know, maybe lucky in a way last week to pick up a point away to Drogheda, you know, scoring a goal late on, Sean Boyd, ex-Finn Harps player, picking a 94th minute equaliser. But, you know, that's what it takes. That's, you know, it obviously shows the way that the team is, you know, willing to go, you know, beyond 90 minutes to try and get something out of it, and the belief that they have. And, you know, that's down to the manager himself, I suppose.
And Derry obviously drew with Shelburne in recent weeks as well, which was a good result for Derry, having lost out the week before to Galway. They're currently 6 points off the top, but they won't be happy with how things have been going over the opening period of the league.
I think so. I think there'll be a bit of frustration there and around Derry with Rory and with the squad. Like, you know, they won last week, first one in four games. Not really what they would have been looking at come the start of the season. You know, as you mentioned, losing at home to Galway was a big one. But look, then, you know, I suppose it was a great time to play Dundalk last week, and the form that they are in, you know, winless this year, bottom of the league, you know, and it was enough to put the final nail in Stephen O'Donnell's coffin, you know, as he was moved on from the helm at Dundalk. So, look, it's a big 3 points for them, especially, you know, missing their new talisman. Pat Hoobany wasn't involved. There was goals from all over the squad. So, look, that'll give them a lift again. And it'll be pushed the reset button for them. You know, like, they're a few points behind. Look, they're still sitting in second place. Shelburne, you know, we spoke about a surprise package in the first division would have been Harps. Shells, probably the surprise package, you know, being the early pace setters, but such a long way to go. Look, teams have only played 8 and 9 games so far, so long way to go in the season yet.
Derry sitting 6 points off them. Listen, Keith, just back to Shells and their fixture this week. It's another North Dublin derby. Shells against Bowes at Tulka Park. If Shells were to get 3 points in that, they would be seen as massive points, so they would.
I think, yeah, well, look, derbies are huge, you know, and, you know, like, form goes out the window. Bowes at the minute is obviously, you know, managerless and not really knowing which direction that they're going in. Shelburne, look, I suppose, you know, last week we mentioned there just previously how it was a big point for them. They'll be going into this game thinking that they can win and take maximum points, and I don't think that Bowes are in a great place, like we just mentioned. So, you know, you expect Shells to push on there and pick up 3 points.
Yep. We mentioned Drogheda as well. Will it be difficult for Derry to go there on Friday night?
As I mentioned, it is a difficult place to go, yeah. You know, for a lot of teams. You know, we talk about the tight pitch. You know, we talk about the difference, I suppose, in dimensions of pitches, and, you know, the difference between maybe the Brandywell, you know, being such a bigger pitch, and then Weaver Park being such, you know, such a narrow, and we talk about the crowd and the influence they have. So, you know, it'll be a massive test for Derry going there. Will they have Hooban back? We're unsure. You know, he'll be used to playing there, and he'll be used to be involved in that atmosphere with Dundalk, and, you know, how it can be quite, you know, how the crowd do get involved in that game. And that Derry have gone there last season and picked up a few points. The season before, they dropped points there, I think maybe two draws there, before. So look, it's going to be a difficult game. We look at Drogheda, how they've been at home, and you know they've picked up most of their points at home, if not all their points. They had a bad result against Waterford there, maybe the second game of the season where they were beat 4-1, but that hasn't seemed to carry on. And Derry will want to go pick up maximum points. Drogheda will be thinking they'll be able to get something. So again, it could be a tough one to call, but I think Derry might edge it this time.
Derry have some big games coming up over the next month, including two of the title contenders. They'll be playing Shells again at the Brandywell. It's going to be the 6th of May. But before that, St Patrick's Athletic are going to be at the Brandywell on Monday, the 22nd of April. And then the Friday before that, they're hosting Shamrock Rovers at the Brandywell as well. So three massive home ties on the horizon in the next number of weeks for Derry against the sides that would also have aspirations of being Premier Division champions, Keith.
Yeah, like they, you know, with all that comes with Derry, you know, like we know the passion that's in there and the crowd and the expectation and, you know, the squad that they've put together again this year. Like they're all big games now, and I'm sure there is massive frustration, I suppose, what has happened over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks there, you know, not being able to pick up points and losing games that you kind of maybe banked on winning. And, you know, that there is no easy games this year. Definitely there isn't. And, you know, I think, Rory Higgins touched on himself that, you know, it's going to be a mad league that, you know, everyone seems to be sort of, you know, taking points off each other, especially in this early stage before things settle down. The home games are the ones, if you're looking to win the league, you have to win in your home games, you know, and with those ones that are coming up before, obviously, Shelburne have kind of, you know, thrown themselves in the mix as now one of the title contenders. I'm sure before the season started, Derry were just thinking, you know, it's going to be ourselves and Shamrock Rovers. And, you know, maybe if you get a Pats, you know, that might, you know, throw up a challenge as well. We're not too sure. Just going on last year's, I suppose, results in that. But now, though, the way that goes, you know, Sligo have kind of put themselves in the mix as well. You know, with the way that they've started, we were unsure what they were going to do. But the guys they brought in, some of the new guys, the younger guys, have hit the ground running. You know, getting Max Mata back in, you know, one of the last signings just before the league started has been huge. You know, he's chipped in with 4 goals already. You know, Fitzgerald's doing really well. You know, Wavrou, who was at Galway, or sorry, at Cove last year, excuse me, you know, on loan from Galway, you know, he's chipped in with a couple of goals too. So, you know, they've been going really well. And, you know, I suppose we spoke about it at the start of the season with Decky and the show that we did, that, you know, we weren't really sure how Sligo were going to go, but, you know, they've put themselves right up in there as well. And, you know, it's tough to say. Obviously, we see the early pace setters that are Shells. You know, we expect Derry, we obviously expect the champion Shamrock Rovers to push on. But, you know, there's a lot of names in the hat there, you know, of who's really going to push for this league this year so early in the season.
Yeah. By the way, Sligo, of course, are going to the Tallaght Stadium to play Shamrock Rovers on Friday night as well. Sligo and Shamrock Rovers tied for fourth on 12 points. Who would the one be more beneficial to there, do you think, Keith?
Well, I think this is, you know, the cobwebs are sort of being, you know, dusted off now from Shamrock Rovers. You know, Stephen Bradley will be thinking, right, you know, we've had our wee blips from the start of the season. You know, this is now it's time to kick on now. You know, the gap is like 12 points, I think, from themselves, 12 or 11 points from themselves and Shells. They need to be picking up points now. They need to be going, because Shells don't seem to be faltering that much. Is it just a case that Shells have, you know, started really well? Or are they genuine title contenders? Will remain to be seen. We know the Shamrock Rovers from last season, they don't need to start well to push on and win the league. You know, I think it was, yeah, I think they were struggling to get wins up until maybe 7 or 8 games into the season last year. You know, they really did struggle, but this was one for them where I think they'll be thinking, right, we need to push on here now. Sligo maybe not having played last week because of the weather, and themselves and Galway, you know, fell victim to Storm Catherine. Katrina, you can remind me of that one, I'm not too sure. But yeah,
Kathleen,
look,
wasn't it?
Kathleen. Yeah, it was Kathleen. I knew it was one. So yeah, I think this is the one for Shamrock Rovers, especially being at home. They'll be expecting to kick on. They will obviously be doing their homework on Sligo and the threat that they possess. And, you know, Sligo went to Dundalk and scored 5, I think it was, and, you know, Dundalk only drew 1-1 with Shamrock Rovers earlier in the season. So look, it is a game that's, you know, set up to be a real cracker, but I would expect Shamrock Rovers to, you know, get the home win, get the 3 points.
Yeah, well, Dundalk are playing Pats and Waterford are taking on Galway United in the other two games in the Premier Division. Listen, Keith, being a meteorologist wasn't your strong point, but you do know your football, and we thank you for joining us on the programme this evening. Enjoy the ball at the weekend, and we're hoping for a Harps one on Friday.
Here's Oisin.
Keith Cowan talking League of Ireland football. And by the way, we will have updates here in Highland tomorrow evening from Athlone Town against Finn Harps in that First Division clash. Okay, time for a commercial break. We'll have more on The Score after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score programme here on Highland. Staying with soccer, and locally, there could be a number of titles handed out over the weekend. First of all, on Saturday, Old Town Celtic and Remelton Mariners can both wrap up the Division 1 and the Division 2 crowns. Old Town Celtic are at St Catherine's Reserve, and a point there for Old Town, it will be enough for them to be champions. While in Division 2, it's a similar situation for the Remelton Mariners. They are on the road at Balbuffet United Reserves, and a point will do for the Remelton boys as well. While on Sunday in Division 1 of the Donegal League, Letterkenny are taking on Donegal Town. Letterkenny Rovers at home. They have already secured promotion and just a point in the remaining matches, which could come on Sunday, and that will be enough for them to go up to the Premier Division as champions as well. Now, following on from their qualification for the World Cup last year, women's soccer continues to ride a high. On Tuesday evening, over 30,000 attended the Aviva Stadium in Dublin for Ireland's latest Euro qualifier with England. Locally, there is also a growing interest in the women's game. The new Donegal Women's League is up and running, and Breed McGinty has been telling Chris Ashmore about the progression of the game through all the age categories in the county.
Breed, many thanks for joining us on the programme. Exciting times for women's soccer in Ireland, very much an upward curve. Let's look at the matters here in Donegal and the Donegal Women's League. You're the secretary. We've just seen a number of the underage leagues getting underway in the last week or so. So what exactly is the structure in the county in terms of underage leagues at the moment, and where do we stand with regard to our senior clubs?
At the minute, we have under-8s and under-10s. They play blitzes every second week, and we have a good intake on them at the minute, with new teams coming in and increased the trip participation. I would assume it's because of the profile of the Women's World Cup last year and people got interested. At under-12s, then they play every Tuesday evening, with 26 teams in that this year, which is an increase of 4 from last year. The under-14s play on a Friday evening. There's 22 teams, which is an increase of 6 teams from last year. And on the under-16s, we have 15 teams, which is an increase of 5 teams from last year. And especially at that 16-age level, like, the drop-off in girls' sport is massive, so it's good to see that there's an extra 5 clubs. Mm-hmm. And then at senior level, we have 4 teams in the league, which is a bit disappointing that we don't have more support. But one thing is really beneficial this year. We have reached out to the National League, and we're having a meeting now, or next week on the Wednesday evening, just to see if we can do a cup competition between the two leagues, which will benefit everybody. With the clubs here, we'll get more games and hopefully extend interest then to ladies around the county.
Now, you've been involved in the women's game for a long time, and your own coaching pathway has seen you going up steps pretty much every couple of years or so. So tell us about that.
Well, I recently qualified for the League USA, so it's just one off the pro. Whether I go for the pro now is a different story. I think it's going to be a different element of coaching. Like, come through the FAI pathway, some of them were female only, but the A licence and the League A was a mixed gender profile one, so it was good to learn from other coaches. It's just the experience that you get from it. It's brilliant. Last year I also received the Noel O'Reilly Coach of the Year, which I think it was the first female to receive that, so that was a great honour to get. And basically the coach department in FAI is really encouraging, trying to get more females involved in coaching, which, if you look at it, would help. If we had more in Donegal, would help the girls' game. We have a lot of males, and are very good males coaching in the women's game, and benefiting all clubs. Sometimes there's this fear of getting involved in a girls' team as well from other coaches, which, if we could encourage more females, it would increase participation on a grassroots level.
Yeah, now we hear that it's the fastest growing sport in Ireland at the moment. There has been a direct knock-on from the international team. Here in the county, no doubt, it's very encouraging to see all those underage teams, but ultimately we do need to have more adult teams, more playing at a senior level there. But the potential is very much there.
We've always supplied, between ourselves and initially we've supplied players for international level at underage. At a senior level, like, there were three went to the World Cup last year. There could have been four going. There's three in the international set up at the minute with Aaron, Tyler and Amber. Kira's just missed out. But there's the talent in Donegal is massive. It's just trying to get that platform to give them the opportunity to play. If we get a senior league, competitive senior league within the county, it'll only bring players on. Like, we have 15 under 16 teams. Like, there's no reason why we couldn't have at least 10 senior clubs in the county. Even if we have to, like, I know we're going to regenerate and look at elements to increase participation in the adult level. Like, do two clubs come together in the youth league? I think some of the clubs have come together, and because they, like, one team might have seven and the other might have eight players. So, like, without players missing out, they could come together and play as a team. So we're looking at that element of the trying to develop the women's league. We're also trying, with the initial one, trying to get that cup competition going. So,
and on the national stage, clubs from Donegal have done well in the past. Bonnygee United in recent times, and then if we go back a few years, the likes of Letterkenny Rovers and Kilmacrenan. So, you know, Donegal has shown that it can compete with every other county.
Three intermediate titles in the county. Letterkenny Rovers won one, Kilmacrenan won one, and Lagan Harps won an intermediate title. Lagan Harps also won the junior title. I think Fannett would have reached Fannett is a big area, and I know they're interested in getting back into women's football, but, like, they were at an intermediate final at one stage. At the underage level, Capri Rovers reached the semi-final of the under-12s this year. Lagan won the under-12s 3 years ago. At under-16 level and under-14 level, we would have had teams competing. Dunbar would have really strong this year at the under-16 level. They got to a quarter-final stage. So, like, we are at a national stage. Bonnygee last year reached the final of the Amateur Cup. They were knocked out last weekend in the Amateur Cup, but both themselves and Letterkenny Rovers are progressing into the Amateur Shield for this year, and hopefully they'll get a good run at that. They have two home draws in the next round, so hopefully that'll benefit both the clubs.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Finn Harps have got the underage teams in the National League, so the whole profile has been raised all the time. You were at the Aviva Stadium this week for the Republic of Ireland's game against England, and whilst there were positives to take from it, it also showed, the step up against the really top sides. There's still quite a big gulf.
Yes, like, England controlled the ball, they controlled the pace of the game. It was definitely a step up from what the international players, like, not to be offensive against any of the players, but, like, it was just, there is a step up for the quality. Like, Ireland were putting on challenges that would normally come out and win the ball, but England were able to hold them off and keep retaining possession. They were very tidy on the ball. Like, every pass was, they received it and passed it. It was all quick movement. It was just that different level of the same with players going from grassroots into the National League, into Finn Harps, or players trying to get into the international teams at underage. There's always a step up, and it's that challenge for players, but that pathway's there, so hopefully that there will be more and more girls taking the opportunity and starting to believe that they have the talent to go on forward.
Yeah, and it shows how far we have come. Not so many years ago, there would have been maybe just a couple of hundred people at a Republic of Ireland women's game. Then Tallaght Stadium was getting sold out, and now we're seeing matches at the Aviva and games live on television. So it shows the strides that have been made.
Yeah, like Tallaght was always sold out, like it was full to capacity. The Northern Ireland game, there was 46,000 in the Aviva. Like if you look at the last men's game, there's only 44. So like if there was 2,000 extra going to watch a female game. Last night, there were 33,000. But not only in that, like if you look at RTE, they give the women's game the main stage on the RTE channel, whereas the Champions League was moved to the RTE news channel. So like they give the profile of the women's game a boost last night as well, to give them that publicity of having it on the main channel.
So in conclusion, Breed, onwards and upwards.
Yeah, everybody's trying to do the right things. I know we're still catching up in other countries. We're still catching up in the men's game. But the experience of men, they're given a lot of advice on how to achieve better. So like if we can keep that pathway open and consult with men and not be afraid to tap into their information and knowledge, that it'll only benefit the women's game.
That's Breed McGinty of the Donegal Women's League. Now, moving on to Gaelic Games, and the championship starts on Saturday for the Donegal Hurlers when they head to the Athletic Grounds to face Armagh in the Nicky Rackard Cup opener. Donegal will also have group games to come against Mayo, Monaghan, Roscommon and Louth, with the top two set to go to Croke Park to play for silverware in June. Mickey McCann's side have already secured a Division 2 place for next season, and if they are to also step up in the championship, they will have to win the Nicky Rackard competition outright. Joining us tonight on the programme to look forward to that game is Donegal boss Mickey McCann. Mickey, you're welcome along to Highland once again.
Thanks, Oisin.
Mickey, just before we look ahead to that Armagh game, obviously you had a league campaign in Division 2B. How would you sum up the year so far performance-wise? Because listen, let's be honest about it, you had several players missing, several key players missing from your squad. You got as far as the semi-final. How would you, I suppose, sum up what the year's been like so far for you?
I suppose, Oisin, massive turnaround, as you say, from last year. I was opting out and then picking up injuries, and look, a lot of it was our key players. So if you had told me in February or December that we missed all them boys, you'd have felt we could have struggled in the league this year. But we have to give credit to them young players. You know, they stood up pushing, and we lost one match during the five matches of the league, you know, to Derry, a good Derry team. So to say, we're very happy with that. And even the semi-final, we were down Satanta lad then, who were away for that game, and Tyrone just popped us by 1 point, and that was with a lot of players missing. So overall, actually, you'd have to be pleased in the league, and the target was to get a top three spot and it gets you into Division 2 next year. So that was the aim, and we've got it now, Oisin. So we're very happy, and we'll be competing at a good level now next year in Division 2 hurling for the first time. So overall, I think we're in a good place after the league.
Yeah, that's one box ticked for the year, as in the league. You're in a good place, as you say. The next box to be ticked, is it winning the Nicky Rackard Cup, Mickey?
I suppose it has to be, Oisin. I do feel that now it's not going to be easy, and there's plenty of good teams in it, but I feel that that's our target at the start of the year. We got to the final last year and beat by a good Wicklow team, and probably, you know, we felt we left it behind us a bit. So we're going to try go out, Oisin, and our main target of the season was the Nicky Rackard. So as I say, all thoughts were in our mind now since the end of the league. We had a wee training camp last week, we were away and getting ourselves right, and getting ready for a real shift to work on Saturday, because away to Athletics Ground, and as I say, the big target is the Nicky Rackard, and try to get Donegal Hurling to the Christy Ring if possible, Oisin, which I think we're well capable of playing at. But one game at a time, and hopefully we can get off to a good start against Armagh Saturday.
Yeah. How you fix player-wise now? Because as you said, you were missing a lot for the league. The Satanta guys were missing for the league semi-final. They are obviously back. But off the core players that you were missing throughout the league, what's it like now, Mickey? Are you still down bodies, or is there men back, or what's the latest?
Yeah, we're still down, Oisin, with Danny Cullen and Rowan McDermott, who look come back from long-term injuries, and they're back on the pitch again, Oisin. It's just going to be a week or two too early for them, but hopefully, as the championship progresses, you know, that we'll get them back in there. They're progressing well now, so it's just about early this week to chance them. Darren Malegia had a wee setback. He was injured most of the year, but a wee setback again in his calf injury, so he's very doubtful for this week, Oisin. And with Sean McVay carrying a slight wee knock, so it'll be a late fitness test for him. Probably Declan Coulter's the only boy fully returned. Oisin, he's back playing fully this last three weeks and going well, so he's a positive for us. So as I say, we're probably a wee bit stronger than we were at the end of the league, but still a few bodies to get right for further down the line, you know.
Yeah. I know you're only taking it game by game, but is it essential that you have to get up and running with a win and start if you're going to have aspirations of finishing in the top two, Mickey?
I think so, Oisin, you know, and you could get beat against your man, and the result went against you, your Nicky record could be over, so it's going to be massive to get out of that Athletics round with the result, and we were way to them last year in the first round already last year, and luck was a tough game. We pulled away and ended up maybe in the last 10-15 minutes, but it was a real tough ask, and we know what's ahead of us, and our Armagh see us as a scalp now, Oisin. It was long enough that they were beating us handy enough, so we're playing higher level hurling than them, and but as we know, that means nothing will come to championship. So there's plenty of good hurlers, and they'd be fully hurt us if we're not on our A game, Oisin. So very, very important. We just talked about that we get a result and just move on week by week, and you're into a tough game against Mayo next week at home. So, but as I say, full focus is on our man now, and hopefully we can get out of there with a victory.
You and Mayo next week, of course, at the O'Donnell Park. Some would suggest that given they are coming down from Christy Ring, and you had the higher league position of the rest of the other teams, that maybe this Nicky record will be down to use two guys.
But a lot of people will be saying that, Oisin. Mayo have went down a division, obviously, and they've been unbeaten, and the league below us this year, so they're straight back up, you know. So as I say, they've been very, very good during the league, and if they get everybody out for all them Tyrone players, Oisin, you know, we know they're very strong, as I say. But I feel they're very little in us, Mayo, if it comes to that, but I think the likes of me, Armagh and Roscommon will be trying to upset the odds too. So, as I say, one game at a time, but no doubt people will be saying that next week will be interesting. We also may owe, you know, and probably see us too as a finalist. But we're not looking at it that way, Oisin, at the minute. We just need to get out of the athletic ground first and then concentrate on O'Donnell Park next week.
Yeah. And obviously, Mickey, games to come as well. Monaghan, Roscommon and Louth are also in the Nicky Record competition. We might just maybe step into the Christy Ring, an environment that you guys are hoping to get to and have been striving to get to over the last number of years. But the two sides that you suffered defeat to in the league, Mickey, are involved in Christy Ring action, and they're also starting their campaigns this weekend. And it's interesting when you look at the fixtures on the first weekend, that four actually of the six teams involved, you played them in your league campaign, and there wasn't much between these sides. But Tyrone are taking on London. Tyrone obviously hoping to make home advantage count against Dungannon, and Derry are playing last year's Nicky Record winners in Wicklow. So interesting starts for the other two northwest counties.
They are, Oisin, I suppose. I would fancy Derry to come out of Ockham with a victory, Oisin. I do feel Derry will be pushing to get to that final again, so I think they should come out of Wicklow. I know they drew the league, but I think by all accounts, looking back, I think Derry had maybe 18 wides that day, Oisin, and were very wistful in front of the net. So I think if they had a wee bit of form at all, I expect them to come out of there comfortably. Tyrone and London, it's just hard to know what to expect with London, Oisin. I suppose they've beaten Tyrone this year already over there, so. But it's always harder getting a result over there. So I think that Tyrone team works really, really hard, and they're well organised. And I think the home advantage should be enough to see them maybe pivot by 3 or 4 points, you know. So I expect both Derry and Tyrone to get victories this weekend.
Yeah. How do you think they'll fare out overall in the competition?
I suppose if people will be looking at that, and they'll be saying maybe Derry and Kildare would be your Christy Ring finalists, and if I put money on it, I'd say the same myself. I think Kildare will be favourites to win it. Oisín coming down from the Joe McDonagh game last year, and Derry beating the final against Meath, but I think that Kildare team will be hard to beat in it, but I think if anybody's to beat them, it's going to be Derry, you know.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, that's an environment that you would like to see Donegal football, or Donegal hurling rather, progress to, Mickey, but it's proved difficult to do in recent years. Is it a place that's a natural progression, do you feel, for Donegal hurling now this year, that now's the time to make the step up out of Nicky Rackard and under Christy Ring?
I think so, Oisín. I suppose we've won the Nicky Rackard a couple of times and there was no promotion, and I think if we had put it up in 2020 after beating Mayo in the Nicky Rackard final, we'd still be there, because the likes of Sligo up there and Wicklow, who we beat, you know, Tyrone, who there's nothing in, we drew with them this year, you know, teams like that we're well capable of competing against and beating, really, you know, on our day. So I feel Mayo and ourselves are both well capable of playing at Christy Ring level. So it'd be a nice place to be at next year, Oisín, if you're in Division 2 hurling and in a Christy Ring. But as I say, it's a long road ahead of us, you know.
Okay, and the first of those matches is this coming Saturday. 5 o'clock is the start time at the Athletic Grounds. It's Armagh against Donegal. Listen, Mickey, we wish you all the best this weekend in the Orchard County, and fingers crossed that you start that campaign with the victory that you want. The best of luck with it.
Good man, Oisín. Thanks.
It was good to catch up with Mickey McCann, and once again, a reminder that we will, of course, have updates, first half updates from that game, 5 o'clock throw-in for Armagh against Donegal and the Nicky Rackard on Saturday afternoon. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight here on Highland. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you can recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. What's left of your Thursday, enjoy it, have a good one. For me, Oisín Kelly, have a very good evening.